Today's Shiur Mishnah Berurah Yomi is Siman Shin Samech Gimel. We're up to Sif Chaf Dalet. Peiras al Akira Machzeles ve'eino Nogas ad Hakarka. A person draped a mat over the Korah and it hangs down, but does not reach the ground. Eino Nogas ad Hakarka. Im Gavoa me'aretz Shlosha Tfachim Psula. If it is suspended 3 Tfachim above the ground, it is invalid. It is Psula. Sharei kisa akaira ve'ina nires uvatla miyais kaira. This is because the kaira is covered and no longer visible, and that disqualifies it as a kora. Uvatla miyais kora. Umechita gamkein ena kevan shegavoa me'aretz shlosha. At the same time, it does not qualify as a wall either, even though it's draped over the kora, because it is 3 tfachim above the ground. Aval miniach kora rechava. However, if someone establishes a vertically wide korah with part of it reaching down to within 10 tfachim, it is valid. We'll see what this is all about. Because this is extremely difficult to understand what he's saying. But we'll get there. Let's start out with Sif Katan Ayin Ches Machzeles. Right? A person draped a machzeles over the korah, a mat over the korah, and it hangs down but doesn't reach the ground. Ayin ches machzeles. Shirotzel yafois koyach haheter v'peiras aleha machzeles v'gam kshara lakoisel shelo tinada haruach kadesh yaleha shei mechitza gam kein. This person, what was his intention was to reinforce the effectiveness of the korah. He therefore spread a mat over it and tied it to the wall to prevent it from blowing about in the wind. He thought, thinking that would grant it the status of a wall as well. Again, he wanted to prevent it from blowing about in the wind. So his whole svara then was to give it the status of a wall as well. So he says it is pasul, psula, invalid. Mishabura, sif katon ayin tes. Afilu machzeles ba'atzma gavo asara. This is even if the mat itself is 10 tfachim high, because even though it has the required height for a wall, the very fact that it is suspended 3 tfachim above the ground, that disqualifies it, as we saw in Sif Yud. Check out the Mishnah Berurah there, Sif Katan Lamed Hey. Sif Katan Pei, the Eina Nires, and the Pshat is, the reason why it's puzzled is because the Korah is covered and no longer visible, Eina Nires, Im Kain, Les Kan Heker, and thus it no longer constitutes as an indicator, as a Heker, to allow that to be a mavoi that can be carried in. Sif katan pei aleph. And he said, however, if someone establishes a vertically wide korah with part of it reaching down to within 10 tfachim, it is valid. So this is going to need some real understanding. But first, let's see what he means. Pei aleph, a wide korah rechava, ritzona lomar, shi rechava asar tfachim. This means to say it is 10 tfachim wide. V'havamina kevan shi rechava kolkach, we may have thought that since it is so wide, right, it is going to be defined shem achitza aleh v'lo shem korah. It's defined as a wall and not as a korah. U'mechitza k'sheira eina, yet it is not a valid wall. Why? Because it is suspended well off the ground. Right, u'mechitza k'sheira eina d'agavo mina aretz harbe u'kemo b'machzeles. Just like we said before by the mat. Kamash malon d'k'sheira. The Kamash Malan is that even though we might have thought that since it's so wide, it's defined as a wall, not as a korah. Okay. The Shulchan Aruch is teaching us that it is nevertheless valid. Why? Divnei gad lusa lo nizbatal min hashem korah. He says, because of its large size, it does not disqualify its status as a korah. The mat is different. Umachzel it's shiny. The key says a korah v'enikeres. Because there it covers the korah and renders it ineligible. And the mat itself cannot serve as a korah since it's not capable of supporting a block. The Chazon Ish happens to deliberate actually to what extent this applies, arguing that it's not likely that just wrapping a korah in fabric would disqualify it. He suggests that this may apply specifically to a case where the wrapping hangs at least 3 tfachim off the korah. He also suggests possibly that it may depend on the individual case. Whenever it is apparent that there is a solid korah underneath, it would be valid, and if not, it would be disqualified. But here we're talking about not where we have a mat, we're talking about someone establishing a vertically wide korah with part of it reaching down to within tefachim, and he says it's valid. But now the Mishnah Berurah is going to say, not so simple. So again, we're saying that it's going to be like viewed as a vertically wide korah, okay, and he says it's with part of it reaching down to within 10 tefachim. Then it's valid. So several achronim, look what he says here. Sif katan pei beis. He says, v'nimsheches ksas l'mata me'asara, and part of it reaches down to within 10 tefachim. He says, kama achronim niskashu b'dvarav. Several achronim find the Shulchan Aruch's words difficult to comprehend. The mashu mashu debel hashmin dafilu ksas me'akor arachav v'nichnas b'toch asara tefachim hatachtonim shalamo v'gam ken kasher. From his wording, he apparently means that even if part of the korah is within the bottom 10 tefachim of the mavui, it is nevertheless valid. This would be because we view that part as non-existent, and thus the korah is viewed as situated higher than 10 tefachim, right? Right? The korah would then, if we view that part as non-existent, the korah is situated higher than 10 tefachim, and it fulfills the qualifications of a korah of being above 10 tefachim. But this is really not so. He says, this is not true. We just saw yesterday. Because even if part of the korah's width is within the bottom 10 tefachim, it is invalid. Because the halacha is that the mavui's interior underneath the korah must be at least 10 tefachim high. This is wild. Now, it should be noted that the Beis Yosef himself corroborates the Mishnah Berurah's claims. The psak that a wide korah is valid comes from the Rush, who uses the following ambiguous terms. He says, "Because of a rajba, the korah she meshucha lamata me'asara psula v'lesa." Right, and this could be interpreted in one of two ways. The Rajba writes that a korah extending more than 10 tefachim downward is invalid, but in my opinion, this is not so. Or two, it could be read as the Rajba writes that a korah extending downward to under 10 tefachim is invalid. But in my opinion, this is not so. So the Beis Yosef writes that the Rush must have intended the first understanding, that the Rajba is not addressing how high the korah is off the ground, but just the breadth of the korah itself. Yet the Shulchan Aruch's words here seem to follow the second understanding, that the Rush, in fact, allows it to reach down to within 10 tefachim of the ground. And this is what the Mishnah Berurah finds difficult. You should be aware, though, that there are some achronim who actually follow this latter understanding of the Rush. This includes the Taz, the Korban Asanel, the Bach, Eliyarabba, the Kutei Maril, as opposed to the Eben Ozer, Vilagon, Shulchan Aruch Harav, and the Magen Avram, quoted in the Shaar HaTzion as well, right? As well as the Beis Meir, Nishas Adam, and the Chazanish. They all concur with the Mishnah Berurah that once the, you know, again, you can have a very wide korah, but you can't have it reaching down to within tefachim, within 10 tefachim, as the Shulchan Aruch actually says you could do. Sif Chof Hei. Noatz Shtei Yisedois Akumois Al Shnei Kosle Hamavui. Two crooked pegs were inserted into the two walls of a mavui. Vakami Musa Noite L'Sol Hamavui. And it was positioned so that they bend over the inside of the mavui. V'naslan HaKaira Aleihem. And the Kaira was placed upon them. Let's look at the Mishnah Berurah so far on this. Two crooked pegs were inserted into the two walls. Peg Gimel, Akumos al Shnei. Ritzon Alomar, Dehayu Omdos Hayesedos al Shnei Atzdadim B'Shipua, Rosheim Boltos Lamala Migova Haksalim. These crooked pegs were inserted into the two walls, and they were inserted diagonally in the walls on both sides of the Mavui, and the tops of the pegs jut out above the top of the walls. So he says that if these two crooked pegs that were inserted in two walls of a mavui, positioned so that they bend over the inside of the mavui, and then the korah was placed upon them, sif katan pei dalet v'nasan ha-korah aleihem, ritzon lomar, this is to say, yesh kan shnei reusos. The point here is that there are two disadvantages to this scenario. What are the two reyasas in this scenario? Achas, de'ena menachas akora al kotel mamish. Number one is the kor is not actually on the wall, but in the air above it, right? Resting milmala rak ba'avir milmala ala yaseiros, resting on above it on the pegs. And shenis dahakora k'tzara me'orech hashetach shebein shnei aksalim. And the second reisa is that the length of the korah is shorter than the space between the two walls. So he says, let's continue on the Shulchan Aruch. Ve'ein b'yaseidos tefach shehu shir korah lios nechshavim kekorah. And he says, and these pegs are not a tefach wide required, right, as required in order to be considered part of the korah. Let's look at the Mishnah Berurah. These pegs are not a tefach wide. Ein the yesedos tefach. The havia yesedos rechav tefach. He says, because if they were a tefach wide, these pegs, these like wood pegs, lo ech baslan, we wouldn't care the mashe akora atzma ksara, that lo yesedos atzman nech sheves nech shavin kekaira. We wouldn't be bothered by the deficient length of the actual korah. The pegs themselves constitute then an extension of the korah, and it would therefore be valid even if the pegs extend more than three tfachim, even if it extends more than three tfachim over the mavui. Now, he continues on here, once again. So we're saying these pegs are not a tefach wide, as required, right, in order to be considered part of the korah. Im einam gevoim mikasle hamavoi shlosha ve'ein benetiyasan shlosha k'sheira. He says, if they do not rise three tfachim above the mavoi walls and do not protrude three tfachim sideways, it will be k'sheira. Ve'ein benetiyasan shlosha k'sheira. Why? Shanu roim ki'ilu heim al kasle hamavoi. He says, if they do not rise three tefachim above the mavoi walls and do not protrude three tefachim sideways, it's going to be valid and kosher. This is because we view it as if they are directly on the walls of the mavoi and as if the korah reaches the mavoi walls. But if they're three tefachim high or extend three tefachim forward, then the korah placed upon them is invalid. Okay, again, this is all assuming that, once again, that these pegs are not a tefach wide. Because if the pegs were a tefach wide, the pegs themselves would constitute an extension of a korah, and it would be valid even if the pegs extend more than three tefachim over the mavoi. We're talking about where the pegs are not a tefach wide. So, right, you know, it's not a tefach wide as required in order to be considered part of the korah. Again, if they were wide, then they could be part of the korah. So now, what do you do here? You have these pegs. So he says, if they don't rise three tefachim above the mavoi walls and do not protrude three tefachim sideways, it's going to be kasher, because we view it as if they are directly on the walls of the mavoi and as if the korah reaches the mavoi walls. So let's see this in the Mishnah Berurah. Sifkat on pei vav. Ksheira v'chulei. D'mash'ein gavoyin ha'yaseidos mikasle ha'mavoi shlosha tefachim aminu chavot ramai. This is a new principle we have not yet seen. It's going to be ksheira, valid, because the fact that the pegs do not rise three tefachim above the mavui allows us to apply the principle of what's called chavut rami, which means that it is as if the korah is cast down, right? V'hainu kilu akorah nechbat v'nishbal eitz al aksalim, which means that it is as if the korah is cast down and lowered to a level equal with the walls. This is a general halachic principle, similar to lavud, pitikra, and gud asek, mandating that anything that is a tefach wide can be viewed as dropping downward to the required level. This is a Gemara in Sukkah, Chav Beis Amud Beis. And the Korah itself is a tefach wide, obviously. And therefore, we're going to apply this principle of Chavut Rami. And he continues on. V'afsha dayin katzar hi. And even though it is still too short horizontally to reach the walls, kevan she'ein b'nitiyason shel hayesedos shlosha, considering the pegs extend less than three tefachim from the walls, imkein akaira ein rechokah shor tefachim me'aksalim aminan lavud. The korah resting upon them is inevitably within three tfachim of the walls, and therefore we're going to apply lavud. Now, the truth is, the Gemara on Daf Tes Amud Aleph has a statement of the Rashba and other Rishonim, and they ask really why it is necessary to invoke here both lavud, because Mishnah Berurah here says we apply lavud. Why do you need to apply both lavud and chavut rami? If the korah is within three tefachim of the mavoi wall, lavud alone should suffice, regardless of whether it is distance from the wall vertically, horizontally, or diagonally. The Rashba answers that this halacha pertains to a case where the diagonal distance amounts to more than three tefachim, while the vertical and horizontal distances, when viewed individually, are each less than three tefachim. And the Gemara is teaching us that although the diagonal distance is not within the range of lavud, it can nevertheless be qualified by breaking the process into two stages. Chavut achieves vertical distance, lowering it to a height equal with the wall, and then lavud achieves horizontal distance. Okay? That is the approach of the Rashba and other Rishonim. Now, let's just continue on, though, and we're going to see some heavy-duty stuff in a second, after we get through the Mishnah Berurah. So the Shulchan Aruch had said, if they're three tefachim high, or extend three tefachim forward, the korah placed upon them is invalid. So look at the Mishnah Berurah, psula, the Bashir shlosha, lo aminan chavut, bekorah, velo lavud. Look what he says here. Because three tefachim is too high to view the korah as dropping, and too far to apply lavud. Now, the truth is that actually in other areas of halacha, chavut rami is applied even from a height of more than three tefachim. Tosfos and Eruvin, Testament Aleph, Dibur Maskel She'ein, he explains that chavut can nevertheless not validate a korah that is three tefachim or more above the mavoi, since the purpose of the korah is to serve as a heker for the mavoi. As such, it must be situated directly over the mavoi. If it is elevated more than three tefachim above it, its association with the mavoi is not sufficiently distinguishable. Now, in a chiddush that actually argues with Tosfos as well as with the Rashba that we discussed in the previous Mishnah Berurah, Rabbi Akiva Eger resolves this question by introducing a fundamental principle based on a statement of the Ran and Sukkah. And this is the Ran and Sukkah in Yuches Amud Aleph, famous Rabbi Akiva Eger. He explains that halachic mechanisms such as chavut and lavud cannot be employed interdependently. If the korah is three tefachim above the mavoi, lavud could be invoked only after the korah is lowered by means of chavut. Therefore, it cannot be invoked at all. Accordingly, this process would only work when it is within three diagonal tefachim of the mavoi wall, for in this case, both chavut and lavud could each be employed independently. This is unlike the Rashba cited in the previous footnote, and he clearly maintained that lavud and chavut can be employed interdependently even if there are more than three diagonal tefachim. But this alone does not really settle the issue, and there's a lot more to it, and Ayin Shum, Rabbi Akiva Eger, is also Chiddush Rav Chaim on this, in Sukkah, Hey Chaf Aleph, Zekilas Yaakov and Erevin Beis. So we can't really, and the whole sugi there on Erevin Tes Amud Aleph, Ayin Shum. Sif Chavav, this is a very, very long sif. We're going to just do a little part of it today, and it's going to continue on, at least another day, maybe more, probably two more days. Hadu Mavui Nitar Belechi Okora Dafka Kishaino Namuch Pachos Measar Tvachim Miruvachim Velo Yehe Rachvo Yoiser Measar Amos Mitzumtzamos. A Mavui can be permitted by means of a Lechi or a Korah only if it meets the following criteria. Number one, it may not be under 10 Tvachim measured liberally. We'll see what this means. Measured liberally. Miruvachim. Its entrances width cannot exceed 10 amos measured compactly. So it's different. Okay, there's the tefachim, the 10 tefachim high, because it can't be under 10 tefachim high measured liberally, and the entrances width cannot exceed 10 amos measured compactly. V'sheye archo arba amos meruvachos o yoser. It must be 4 or more amos long. And once again, arba amos meruvachos, measured, going back to now, measured liberally. Avam chaser echad mikol elu, ein lo takana ela b'tzuras ha-pesach. However, if it lacks any of these conditions, it can be adjusted only with a tzuras ha-pesach. So let's see each of these things in the Mishnah Brura. Sif katod peches. So the first requirement was that it's dafka kishe'eno namuch pachos me'asar tfachim eruvachim. It cannot be under 10 tfachim high, measured liberally. Kishe'eno namuch, cannot be under 10 tfachim high. Ratzon alomar, shemakarka sheba mavoi, eno namuch, mibifnim, neged haksalim, shir asar tfachim, nechshav ki'ilu ein la mavoi mechitzas. It's to say that if the walls do not rise 10 tfachim above the ground inside the mavoi, it's as if the mavoi has no walls. The ein mechitza p'chusa miyasara, because anything under 10 tfachim is not defined as a wall. The Mishnah Brura here emphasizes that they must rise 10 tfachim above the ground inside the mavoi. By this he means to stress that even if the walls are 10 tfachim high on the outside, but the ground inside the mavoi is elevated, raising the ground to less than 10 tfachim from the top of the walls, it does not qualify as a mavoi, even though there is a surrounding height of 10 tfachim, which does indeed render it a reshus hayachid. This is the Shaar Tzion, and he quotes the Eben HaOzer. And there's a lot of Torah on this, but we don't have time for it now. That would be for Ian Shear. This Eben HaOzer resolves certain difficulties. Zuchazan Ish, you can check it out. Samche Nun Zayin. And there's a Vilna Gon also. Okay. And the Shulchan Aruch Harav. They all discuss this. This is heavy duty stuff. Anyway, that's the first requirement, that it can't be under 10 tfachim high, measured liberally. What does that mean, measured liberally? Peites, meruvachim, measured liberally. Uvaseifa mitzutzamos, as opposed to below, with regard to the maximum allowance for its height or width, there, where they must be measured compactly. Right? That's v'seifa mitzutzamos, because dazlina l'chumra b'chol makom l'nizeh. Because in regard to these halachas, we assume the more stringent measurement in each case. The liberal amma exceeds the compact amma by a half a finger breadth to an amma. And therefore, the same ratio is applied when measuring tefachim. A liberal tefach exceeds a compact tefach by a twelfth of a finger breadth. This is the Shaar Tzion quoting Olas Shabbos. Next, Mishnah Brura, Yoiser Me'eser, its width may not exceed 10 amos. Its entrance's width cannot exceed 10 amos, measured compactly, as we said. The Imu Yoiser Me'eser ain't a love, shame Pesach, lo mahani lezeh lechi v'kora. Because if it is more than 10 amos, it's not defined, as we know, as an entryway, but as a breach, and that cannot be rectified by a lechi or a kora. Because the function of a lechi is to serve as a partial wall. And by the way, this restriction applies, Shaar Tzion says, applies only to the entrance of the mavoi. The width inside the mavoi is of no concern. Now, once some of the border is enclosed, the remainder can be deemed an entryway. An opening of more than 10 amos, however, is too wide to be deemed an entryway. This is true even when most of the border is enclosed, and most certainly when there's just a lechi constituting the beginning of a wall. The korah is all the more ineffective in the lechi when the opening is so wide. A korah does not enclose the border at all. It functions merely as a heker, an indicator, providing the open border with the appropriate appearance of an entryway. That is what distinguishes the mavli from the surrounding territory and marks it as a separate shayachid. Thus, the korah is only effective if it's in fact augmenting an entryway. However, if the board does not qualify as an entryway due to its excessive width, the korah is meaningless. Again, by the lechi, since the function of a lechi is to serve as a partial wall, once some of the border is enclosed, the remainder can be deemed an entryway. But an opening of more than 10 amos, however, is too wide to be deemed an entryway. Okay? Let's continue on here. It says, measured mitzumtzamos, measured compactly. Ritzon alomar, that is to say, what he's saying is that the six tfachim in each amma are measured compactly. And similarly, the statement at the end of the sif that the mavui must be at least four liberal amos long means the same. The tfachim comprising those amos must be measured liberally, and this results in two finger breadths in excess of the four amos, as explained above. Right? And what he says, that the six tfachim in each amma are measured compactly. The difference in size between a compact amma and a liberal amma is just the result of how the tfachim were measured. Okay? We continue on here. Sif katan tzadi beis, arko arba amos. It must be four or more amos long, and that's measured liberally. Meruvachos. Arko arba amos, Mr. Bua Sadi Beis, the pachos mishiyazeh, lo chashuva ka mavui like a chatzer. Because if it's smaller, it's not considered a mavui, but a chatzer. And it therefore requires the more stringent adjustments prescribed for a chatzer, either a four tefach pas panel at one end of the fourth border, or two panels of any width, one at each end, two lechis on each end. Ayin Shum, also he says, Shin Samech Hei Sif Aleph for certain qualifications of this halacha. We now continue on. Sadi Gimel. The only time such a mavui that lacks any of these conditions, the only way it will be adjusted is with a Tzuras HaPesach. Mishnah Berurah now. That is to say that even if it is less than 10 tefachim high, its tzuras haPesach is effective. The chain berach of me'aser amos, or shaloi yarko arba amos. And also, if it is more than 10 amos wide or less than 4 amos long. He says, however, the consensus, he says, among many achronim, is that if the interior of the mavui is less than 10 tefachim high, a tzuras haPesach will be ineffective. Because even an actual wall is ineffective at less than 10 tefachim high, let alone a tzuras haPesach. However, if the general interior of the mavui is 10 tefachim high and is lower than 10 just at the mavui's entrance, b'zeh mahani atzuras haPesach. A tzuras haPesach will be effective. V'hu shaya asui kedin. Yet, the tzuras haPesach itself must be made properly. Da'ainu shaya kanan gvoyin asar tfachim. Right? That the side post must be 10 tfachim high. This is the Vilna Gaon. And he also notes, v'da'od, dimloya arko arba amos, that in the case of a mavui less than 4 amos long, several poskim, das kama poskim, the dino kechatzer, they hold that it has the status of a chatzer. And therefore, and therefore, it does not require tzuras haPesach per se, but it can also be adjusted by means of a four tefach panel on one side of the pas, or two panels to l'chaim of any width on each side. In fact, the Shulchan Aruch himself will say this in Sif Lamed Beis coming up. That's the Shulchan Aruch here when he says tzuras haPesach lav dafka. It wasn't meant to be taken literally because once it has the status of a chatzer, then it does not require a tzuras haPesach per se, but also can be adjusted by means of a four tefach panel on one side or two panels of any width on each side, like l'chaim, two pasim, two l'chaim on each side, That is, as you know, I made a distinction between a mavui and a chatzer, and once the mavui's walls are less than 4 amos long, it has a din of a chatzer and not a mavui adkan.